Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to The Shift. It's Des here. Tuesday evening, New York City. Absolute scorcher today. New York style. Humid. Close. Not that Americans know what close means. And hot weather. Hot topic. We brought Karen Feehan back on the pod to talk about Louis C.K.'s latest appearance at Skankfest here in New York City. A lot of media reports about the fact that Louis C.K. got on stage, received a huge standing ovation, and of course it drummed up the controversy all over again. Now, we've never really spoken about it on the podcast or the Des Bishop podcast, so I thought we'd have a go at talking about it now. A lot of time has passed since stuff came out about Louis C.K., and so we had Katie and we had Karen, both of who performed at Skankfest, although Katie wasn't there when Louis C.K. was there, and me, who has been at the Comedy Cellar when Louis C.K. is on, to talk about the whole Louis C.K. thing and, you know, workplace safety and behavior and everything that comes with it. I won't say too much, but we discussed it. And then we also had a bit of a lighthearted chat about Karen's new boyfriend and just some general fun chit-chat. So anyway, I hope you enjoy the episode. And we'll talk to you at the end. All right, I have press record.
Okay, great.
That's... Give me the proper pronunciation of your name again.
Karen.
It is Karen, okay. Karen. Karen Feehan is back on the podcast, guys.
She's back.
She's Yay. Back.
Yay.
We got some followers because of you. We got
really?
Some listeners because of you. We've had a few bits of feedback.
Feedback?
I found your podcast because I'm a big fan of Karen Feehan.
Wow. So you're welcome.
That's so nice.
Is that why you guys paid
Actually,
me this
one
month?
Of them was... one of them was... I'm a big fan of Karen and Wendy.
Oh.
I didn't know you guys were a package.
Well, we are. We trade off Venmo buddies sometimes. Like, if I'm too busy to, like, send a guy a picture of my asshole, I'll give him to Wendy. I'll be like, hey, this guy's right up your alley.
Nice.
Mm. Yeah. That's women supporting women in the comedy
Please
community.
Please never do that to me.
Katie, you're getting roped in.
Carrie, you've not...
But I got this fresh, young, hot, Katie. Irish butt.
Katie has never posted a picture of a bum.
No, I've got
The most sexy thing Katie has done is a kind of a jokey...
Yes.
Tea.
I love the tea kettle and the hair of the tea kettle. It's adorable.
Yeah.
Yep.
I like my arse, but not in the summer here because it's too hot. I get acne on my arse. I get arsene. So, can't be posting naked.
I guess you can call it assne.
No, arsene because we're Irish. Well, you're not. I am. You're half.
It's not. It doesn't really matter.
Assne sounds weird. I've never said ass.
It just sounds a little more like acne. That's kind of
assne. Arsene.
Are we talking like completely covered? Your
butt? Oh no, just like
just a spot here and there.
A few spots really, is fine. Most people have spots on their ass.
It's really fun to pick.
Oh well, yeah, that's the best because you think
Americans don't
see
say
this.
Spots. You know that, right?
Oh,
sometimes.
Pimples.
Well, oh, I guess yeah, you're right. I was thinking about Naomi Campbell, and she would always call them spots, but she's British.
She's British.
I love
yeah.
popping spots. It's like my favorite.
It's a bad
thing.
Habit, though.
I know.
You should see my boyfriend's back.
Oh,
God, when he's on steroids.
When I get into an argument with someone like a boyfriend.
Oh, yeah. First
thing. I find then I'm like picking my skin.
Of course. It's there's something called scanning. I've gotten a lot better, but I used to do it where you're just constantly like touching your face and your skin, like searching for things to pick at.
I had an ex of mine a long, long time ago. Her sister had a big problem with that.
Yeah.
A real problem. Like it's a real OCD thing.
Yeah. Jesus.
But a lot of people do. I think when I had acne, I was constantly like rubbing my face, looking for bumps.
Yeah. And it's worse then because it's the oil from your fingers or something.
Oh, you're just making it worse. Of course.
It's a nightmare.
Of course. Although I don't know if that was the worst thing. I mean, acne, nothing you can do about acne.
No, I mean that when you touch it, then it's bad for your face.
Yeah, but I think
things you can do. Okay. Proactive. You can go to a dermatologist.
Did you have bad acne?
No, never.
Yeah, that's. I did. You said that exactly like somebody who didn't have bad acne.
Oh, really?
I had bad acne when I was 12, and my dad said, "Oh, it's good you're getting it now because then you won't have it when you're older." And I'm 28, and I'm still getting spots. So.
Yeah, but that's not acne.
Well, yeah, I used to have it really bad, where they put me on like medication for it.
Did you take Accutane? Or Roaccutane, as they call it in Ireland?
No, because when that was coming out, wasn't there bad news? But they gave me something you applied.
They said it caused depression.
They gave me the pill.
But they didn't know about the depression when I was taking it. Oh. Coincidentally, this is totally true. It did coincide with some of my darkest drinking times. But of course, it's hard to say, you know,
wow,
if it was connected or not. Because I never felt depressed, just very angry.
Okay.
And I couldn't really decipher that from the past or the, you know. So anyway.
Maybe.
But you didn't have to take Accutane. It's very serious.
No.
There's pictures of deformed babies on the box.
Oh, my God.
Why?
Because if you take it when you're pregnant, your children will have deformity.
Oh, Jesus. Wow.
So it was like, this is like really important. If you are pregnant, you cannot take Accutane.
Wow.
Jesus. I took Overnet. That was like the pill, the female pill. What's it called?
I don't know why you're looking
at me. What's the pill? The sex pill?
The birth control pill?
Birth control, yeah. Thanks. What's wrong with me? That's what they put me on.
You could have got yourself out of a real jam there and just said the pill. And not. Katie's vocabulary is a running thing on the podcast.
That's it. And I like to talk. That, Overnet, yeah. But apparently only meant to be on it for like a little while. And I was on it for 4 years. And I used to switch around doctors when I would move and stuff. And then when I went to the last doctor, he was like, "Oh my God, you shouldn't have been on this so long. You need to get off it." And I was
"Wow, I hope your eggs are all right. I hope they're not all scrambled up."
Yeah.
That's great. What a cheery podcast.
What a saying. Thanks. I'm sure they are.
If my boyfriend listens to that and hears the risk of it, he will dump me.
Really?
He
is
wants
he trying
kids.
To get you pregnant right yeah. now?
All the time.
Wow. Sorry, Boris.
You can do it, Boris. Get him in there. I'm sure
you're
a swimmer.
She's got a running thing with the sorry dad. Now you're going to have to put sorry Boris
dad,
on there.
Sorry, Boris.
We don't want to give him a long-term nickname. Anyway, yes. You know, Karen, you're our first returner.
Am I really? A repeat guest.
And, you know, I kind of...
Wow.
I asked you to come back sort of mainly because Louis C.K. showed up again doing a thing and he got a standing ovation. And then I noticed that you were there.
I was.
And you posted about it. And before we get into it, I just want to say that I've avoided talking about this subject publicly for quite a long time. I thought it had sort of disappeared. And then
I look at you, bringing it back up.
Well,
I'm joking. You can't really avoid it. I'm sure every podcast.
I thought it had disappeared, and I was shocked to see more controversy about it again the other day.
Just more. I mean, I wasn't really shocked. I think he's going to keep performing, and people are going to keep having a problem with it.
Yes.
Probably. I mean, they just, because the people have a problem with it.
Try not to be overly dismissive straight away. We got to get a half hour out of this. we really need to, like, you know, stir this up a little bit.
The first one right now, building up the mystery. Fuck those losers. No, I think.
But
no,
yeah, sorry, but I was just going to say as an intro to it that I had avoided talking about it. Because, you know, it's like you don't want the hassle of everybody, you know, because like people have such super strong opinions.
They do.
However, when I saw it come up again, I thought, we should talk about it because I figured you'd have an opinion on it. You were there.
Yeah.
I've seen him. I've been at the cellar when he's there.
Yeah.
Katie.
I haven't seen
you
him.
You have to have an opinion. You're not allowed to put a white flag up on this, Katie.
I just slowly get quieter and move away.
No, you're not allowed.
No, I know. I have opinions. Whether or not they're right, but
anyway,
but I missed him that day, so you were there.
Yeah.
So it was at Skankfest.
Yeah.
Which Katie has been performing at.
Oh yeah,
I loved it.
That was great. Skankfest is the best.
Yeah, and that's and Katie's getting she got roast fans.
Yeah, roast, of course. Fans.
Roast battle.
So,
yeah.
So it is actually it's interesting because it is a positive thing for you to be involved in Skankfest.
Skankfest.
But then sometimes, what happens is you perform at the Louis C.K. shows up at the Comedy Cellar. Louis C.K. shows up at Skankfest, and I'm wondering, did you get any burn on the how could you perform at the same show or?
Did I?
Yeah.
No.
You didn't get that?
No, I'm not really.
But how did you feel when he showed up?
And I was really excited. It was an exciting moment. I don't know. Everybody was stoked. I was excited for the fans because those people, like, that's his people. Those are, like, they lost
angry
their
men.
Shit. Yeah, I mean, they're honestly not. They're not angry men. They're just diehard comedy fans. They love friggin' this type of comedy, and they're obsessed with it, and they're obsessed with all comics like that, and they're crazy supportive. They come out. And they're fucking. I was excited for them because you could feel it. Like, and it wasn't just dudes. Chicks, like, there was some chicks losing their mind in that crowd too.
Yeah, you can. I didn't see it, but I saw quoted that you could see a woman going crazy for him in the video that Lewis posted. Yeah. So
in the video that Lewis posted.
Yeah, just someone quoted it, and they're like, oh, you could see a woman at the very front going crazy for him. So
yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I've been at the Cellar for some of his shows, and you get a mixed.
It's a different vibe.
Well, no, actually, I mean, most of the time people are excited.
Yeah.
One night I happened to be outside and I met some very sort of upset women.
Right.
But, you know, the thing about that was that they had said that he came in and they were kind of like 50-50 on how they felt about his presence. But they actually said to themselves, well, let me give him the benefit of the doubt that perhaps there's something interesting to be heard from this guy.
Sure.
And then... they were disappointed by the material, but that's
really?
Kind of, well, yeah, but that's like a separate, you know, that was the type of stuff he was doing then kind of leaked out a couple of months later. I don't know if you remember he did that show out in Long Island.
What, the Parkland stuff?
Yeah.
It wasn't the Parkland stuff, but actually it was just whatever stuff. I mean, it doesn't really matter because, I mean, I wasn't wild about the material he was doing immediately afterwards either, but that's more just I kind of thought, like my own personal opinion on the ideal stuff to do after that type of scenario.
Right.
But I'm not Louis C.K., so it's not really important. But so they were upset with the stuff he was doing, and they were quite visibly upset. But
really?
Then obviously on the flip side, people are very excited, and I have heard the full spectrum of opinion on this from the absolutely 100% outraged workplace safety spectrum to the come on, like it's not a big deal.
I think a lot of people need to just grow up. Just like grow up. Like why do you care? Like why are you flipping out?
Was he in the green room?
Yeah. He was right next to me.
The only thing I would say about like Skankfest is I would always feel safe with the group of people who booked me for the show. Like as in if he came in there and when I was in the green room, obviously I was there the night before, but I wouldn't have felt in danger just because it's all of the guys who look after me anyway.
Right.
Like it's Mike Feeney, not Mike Feeney, sorry, Mike Feeney was there. Mike Cannon, who was on the episode.
All the Mikes were there.
Oh, you know, there was all the
Irish Mikes.
Like, I got the Irish lads. They'll kill you if you come near me.
It's just like weird. Yeah, because we do have relationships with all these people and friends with a lot of these people. And it is kind of, it feels like the flip side, but because I think there's a very clicky thing that happens in the alt comedy scene, and you know,
when you call the alt comedy scene, you mean kind of Brooklyn sort of super woke.
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah, maybe a little more experimental comedy, not necessarily what everyone would consider stand-up comedy.
Yes.
I don't know. It's sort of like the way Skankfest is not really bothering anybody. They're like having a festival for their fans, podcasts they listen to, comics that they follow, and they're super serving their fans. This great festival that's affordable, that they could come meet each other, like really interact with comedians. It's not like they're like far away. It's like we're all up in the mix together.
I will say as well that everybody knows what they're going to when they're going to Skankfest. It's called Skankfest.
Right.
Secondly, it's the first I've done. 6 festivals in this country, and it's the first one I've gotten paid for and got presents.
Yeah.
And I only did one spot.
The way they treat the comics is incredible. Like, you walk in, there's a bag.
So much free booze.
Free stuff in it.
Food.
You know, it's like you're treated great. And it's like, again, like diehard comedy fans that know you from podcasts that are like making people that like comics that are starting out are just sort of like making a little headway. They make them feel great. They come out, hey, blah, blah, blah. I know you. I heard you on this. Like, can I get a picture with you? It's a great festival.
The fans were really polite to me. People came up to me and they were very nice. I didn't I didn't get.
And it's like, whatever, like, go do Clusterfest. Clusterfest exists. You don't hear people being like, hey, I wasn't invited to Clusterfest and it's a hateful fucking bullshit thing. It's like, no, because it's all lollipops and roses or whatever.
So how did you feel? So how did you feel the next day when you start seeing all the controversy pipe up again?
I'm like, I just, like, the biggest eye roll. Like, who the fuck cares? Like, why? What are you... It really takes a specific person, I think, to decide to be outraged, too. It's like, A, get a job, because you're on Twitter all day now. You have decided that the rest of your day is going to be spent tweeting about this fucking thing that really did not affect you at all. So, like,
but it's hot. It's a hot topic. So much so that I thought, oh, let's talk about it.
Yeah, I did read. Sure. I read.
It's fun. I mean, I like
it's hot. It's incendiary.
Dude, I got a hot tweet off it. Louis, anytime I get a hot tweet and Louis C.K. can perform.
Oh, so your tweet. Because what was your tweet?
Bonnie went up after Louis or Michael Che, then Louis C.K. And Bonnie goes up and she's like, I realized they put me up after the pervert. And it was hilarious. That crowd, like the same crowd that went nuts for Louis, like went nuts for Bonnie. And it, to me, it's a great moment because all this stuff about like trying to get people to not be able to perform. If he can't perform, then we can't call him a pervert. Like comedians are broken people. We've all got something. It's like, I don't know. To me, that was sort of like a moment in comedy where it's like, that's what it is. It's like, listen, yeah, he did this creepy shit. He's going to be known as a creepy dude for the rest of his life. That's his cross to bear everywhere he goes. Mm. So he's going to get called a pervert. If it's worth it to him, then he must really freaking love comedy to like have that hanging over him everywhere he goes. So let him tell some fucking jokes, especially if it's going to make a crowd of people really happy.
It would just to be like the other side to the coin.
Yeah.
Devil's advocate.
Well, the only thing I can think is, let's say with comedy, sometimes people think of people as like geniuses or whatever, but it still is a career. And could you imagine if he was like a doctor and he took out his willy and started?
He would face the same challenges that he's facing now.
He would be fired.
Louis was fired from the industry. Look at all the money he's lost.
But
he's
also, suffered. It's not an exactly
good analogy.
It's actually a good analogy. However, the difference is that. Well, in the situation, as I understand it, it wasn't a case of they were looking for work off Louis, and he was like, "Do you want to look at my dick?" Oh. He was just a little, perhaps as he wrote in his apology, aware that they admired him in terms of his veteran status in the comedy industry. Wasn't like they were in his room to have a meeting about comedy.
It wasn't a casting couch.
No. I thought it was that. Again, and this is the thing you never really heard.
We can get into it now about exactly what it was.
I mean, I don't have all the facts.
Yeah, I thought it was.
I know what I heard. I know what I read.
Yeah.
But that's all I know.
We accept that it was Louis has a thing for masturbating in front of people that aren't really taking part.
Yeah. Ugh.
Yeah. That is
so icky.
That is what he was doing. You know?
Yeah.
I mean,
is it that gross though?
But
do you hate being jerked off at?
I don't want Louis C.K. to jerk off at me. He is not hot.
That's fine.
I want my boyfriend to jerk off in front of me.
There you go though. You just said that you like guys jerking off at you. You just don't want Louis C.K.
My hot one.
Right. Not same. 100%. But he asked women. He asked them. He was like, can I jerk off at you? It wasn't like he was like locked them in his room. It was like, I'm going to do this now. He asked permission. It's a weird kink. Does it have like sort of creepy power dynamics? Yeah, absolutely. Yes. But is it a crime? No, it's just a little weird.
I don't think anyone's saying it's a crime for sure.
People
it's just
are,
like,
oh, no. People are definitely saying it's a crime.
Yeah. Oh, all right. I should really read up more. I'm sorry. I'm so oblivious when it comes to comedy world stuff. I just go, cool.
But it's an opinion, what they're saying.
Yeah, okay.
But you remember when the story broke, right?
I do, yeah. I remember when the story broke.
Do you recall your feelings about it?
I remember thinking I wouldn't have wanted to be put in that position because I probably would have watched him if it was going to give me an opportunity, which is... bad. And that's the point where hopefully
I love
people,
that honesty. Yeah, exactly.
I would definitely.
Yeah.
Because I love. And that's the point where it's good that these power dynamics are being like, you know,
shine
questioned
a light on.
And yeah. So if anything, well, I don't think he's going to do it again because like that, everybody knows
but
now.
I
everybody
feel
knows
like
he's a dirty.
The girls in this situation probably have a similar mentality, but then their career wasn't panning out. And that's when they start blogging and getting
I know,
mad
but
about
I just
it.
Want I listen I understand the point that you're making but that is an assumption right
it is an assumption
that is an assumption
yes
which is absolutely fine.
It's I not mean, based how the fuck am
I, how do I have to be the goddamn feminist devil's advocate here? You both are like, yeah, I mean, listen, I mean, if it would have got me ahead, I would have watched him.
No, but that's why I'm saying it's bad.
No, I know that. No, I'm kidding.
Oh, my God. Like, that's I'm
joking.
Yeah.
Is it bad or is it like, I don't know, we're all kind of adults.
No, I definitely hope I've never put that
question.
Before we get into the proportionate, whether it's proportionate or not, what's happened after the fact.
Okay.
Let me just admit, and I've admitted publicly before, and maybe you did too, I knew about the jerking off thing for quite a while before it broke.
Yeah.
And honestly, from the knowledge that I had, which is apparently Louis likes to fucking jerk off in front of people.
Right.
My understanding was that Louis would hate that to come out because it's quite embarrassing.
Yes.
But we all knew.
Right.
That it was a thing.
Right.
And I really just, in my mind, thought, that is quite embarrassing.
Yes.
That's his thing.
Yeah.
You know? I didn't think of it in anything greater than that's going to be really embarrassing when that comes out.
Right.
Yeah.
So okay. I was surprised. Now, I know that it was post Harvey Weinstein, but I was surprised at the force of energy that came against him.
Yeah.
Immediately. Were you?
No, because this mob-like mentality, that's what they do. It was almost like he was one of the first comics. He's like, oh, we got one, and we got such a big one. Ooh, it's Louis. Let's freaking rail him. Like, let's kill him. It's like, I mean, that's, I think, what the mentality. I think that's what it was. Because, I mean, I don't know.
Do you think, well, what's the positive of that? Like, the mob thing... It's a tough argument, isn't it? Because you know it's hard to know if it's positive or negative in terms of the power that it gives to, say, women who perhaps felt disempowered in the past,
right?
But
I mean, I'm just not I'm also not the best feminist when it comes.
No, but that's fine. You're here to have an opinion on it.
Right,
and it's good. You know, it's good to get that out because you represent one. A very common thing that I have heard.
Yeah.
From women.
Right.
Not just from guys. I mean, you find guys in general are a bit like, I don't get it.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, I think in general guys are just like, I get it. It's super fucking creepy.
Right.
I'd hate to be Louis C.K., but I don't understand how life just has to stop for him. And I don't understand how the mob get to decide somehow that there's a period of time where he needs to.
Right.
But anyway, Louis is... But if Louis is a casualty of the changing of the guard, well, that's fine. On one level, he doesn't really matter. But so is it a positive then that now it's very clear out there you can't do fucking creepy shit? Is it worth it for that? Anyone?
Well, okay, I will say this is what someone else said to me. A friend of mine is a comedian and he's quite successful, and he texts me saying with all this stuff he's afraid to even have interactions with women.
Right.
A woman talked to him at a bar the other night and he texts me going, she's gorgeous, I've gone home.
But I think so, that's an exaggeration. You know. I get that's funny.
So it's like, I guess as well, it's good, but then as well, I guess it's...
Katie, you're a young woman. You can just bang out your opinion. You're not going to get jammed up.
I guess it is just there is like a line as well where, let's say if you had a woman over here and she was like, you were like, oh, she was like masturbating in front of me, and you're like, yeah, great. And then afterwards, you know, you just have to be careful now as well because you want to make sure.
I know, but yeah, I mean,
don't worry about
guys' fears. I'm just wondering, is it a positive?
I think yes, because I think that maybe men with creepy intentions might be on the guard a little more, like, oh, I might get caught if I do this. So they might be more careful about, you know, what they do. I mean, the thing, playing devil's advocate, if you're making victims out of people, and that's going back to like the power dynamic thing, like it can sort of have these negative sort of icky feelings about these situations. The bottom line with me is like, if I don't want to be somewhere and somebody's creeping me out, I'm getting the fuck out of there. And I think that sort of like this weak victimhood that women do is stupid and it's goofy. And I have a hard time. I do try very hard to empathize with, you know, this sort of mentality of women who are like, I froze. I was so nervous. I froze and I was scared. So I just froze. I get it that does happen. but it's, I've been in situations and I've gotten the hell out of there. So as for me, it's difficult to empathize. Like if, like, I don't know, like I froze up and all of a sudden he was on top of me and he did this and that. If somebody's going to rape me, they're going to have to fucking rape me because I'm going to fucking kill them. So, and again, I'm trying to empathize with this type of woman, but I'm just not that.
Well, I think there's levels.
There's levels as well. There's like, especially then if there's like these workplace where we work in workplaces where people, you know, people drink.
Right.
And I stopped drinking because someone had slept with me while I was drunk. And look, I'm completely normal when I'm drunk. So I don't blame him or whatever, but I wouldn't have done it sober.
Right.
So then I was like, oh, fuck, this is comedy. I need to be careful. And now I will only have like 2 drinks and I never drink when there's comedy involved. Except for at Skankfest, I had 3 and then I went home to bed.
Really?
But I just because now I know.
So,
but I'm saying like, so it's.
But, you're also like taking responsibility for that night. Because you're saying you were drunk. Like,
well, like yeah, but well, when I get very, very drunk, you wouldn't notice it. And my roommate had said that to me when I came in. He was like, oh, you seemed sober. So right. I definitely know that was my responsibility in that part. But so my point being as well, though, we're in a place where there's drink or drugs, or so people just need to be careful, and you don't want any creep taking advantage of someone who's gotten a little too drunk, or it's sure. a different, it's not like a workplace. We don't have a HR or HR, as you call
right,
it.
Right, 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 right.
Yeah, I mean, but just on the thing that you were saying there a second ago, just there are levels in the sense that I can understand how a woman could freeze in a situation where it's quite scary.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't like to think that all women that freeze are somehow not taking responsibility.
No.
But in relation to the Louis C.K. situation, and this is definitely something I asked quite a few women, what level of horror is it to have to sort of stand there in front of this guy who you're back in his hotel room and he's decided to jerk off, which is very strange. They said they laughed.
Right.
There's others. By the way, there were other incidents also.
Yeah.
But the one that everyone seems to know the most about is when at Aspen, when he brought this woman back to his hotel. And you know, this concept of I froze and he was jerking off. I understand that is traumatic, but is it not acceptable to say that the level of trauma has to be considered low?
Yeah.
I mean, I asked a lot of women this, and I find it quite unanimous that the level of seriousness of that situation is kind of low.
Right.
The problem that a lot of people seem to... The thing that a lot of people seem to have a problem with is that, and nobody's clear on this, is that he affected their career.
Right.
To keep them quiet.
I don't think they were going to have a career anyway.
See, that's the toughie, you know? This is the thing that I struggle with because I can't find... I've looked up a lot online and I can't find anything other than he said, she said stuff that proves that there was an active campaign against these women.
If they were going to have a career, would this not have catapulted them? If they're suddenly put on in the center stage, everybody knows about them now, people are looking up their comedy, wouldn't they be successful?
Well, I think they're saying... Well, first of all, a lot of time has passed. This was a long time ago, the incident. So I think what they're saying is that...
Why wouldn't that have catapulted them to fame?
Well, they were kind of out of the game by the time this massive story happened, like post-Me Too.
Oh, they were?
Post-Me Too.
So
that's what's going on there.
Oh, that they're saying they're out of the game? So
he's the
reason they're out of the game?
That's what they were saying. And then, of course, Dave Chappelle, in his special very publicly, was like, if that can crush you, then you were never meant for this game.
Comedy's too big. I'm sorry. You can always go where you're wanted. And comedy's about building your own fan base, not sucking dick to get opportunities. So that argument doesn't add up to me. I don't buy it. I think it's bullshit.
Yeah.
But wait, so... I mean, like, really ignorant about this. So he was like, hey, can you masturbate in front of... No, wait, I'm going to masturbate in front of you.
I love Katie.
But it's going to help you. You're going to get, like...
No, none of that. No, that was not the scenario.
Okay.
And nobody suggests that.
Oh, okay.
It was basically... they were hanging out in Aspen. Louis was like, do you want to come back to my hotel room and hang out? They came back to the hotel room, and very quickly, Louis said, do you guys mind if I jerk off? And started jerking off in front of them. Which is clearly...
Why is it so funny when Dez says it?
That is his king. Well, in a matter-of-fact way, it just seems strange. Now, just perhaps to help you guys understand
what
how that would feel.
Yeah.
I'm just going to jerk...
Are you going to do it? No! Can I have a feature spot? No.
No, honestly, Honestly, I would. Except
does that mean I'm hosting?
I would, but I would have to warm it up a bit. I'm not taking out totally flaccid.
Oh, Jesus.
You know? This conversation is not making me hard.
Ryan Shafir did at Skankfest.
I saw his cock out. Actually, it was fine.
Right, did he take his cock out?
Yeah, it looked like it was going to pop like a little
balloon. Why did he take his cock out?
He was dancing around.
He had his cock out the whole time.
Oh, did he ask
just
everybody?
One of those guys that likes to get his cock out.
That's so funny. I didn't know he does that.
Yeah.
I missed a lot at Skankfest. I was too busy drinking the rosé in the green room.
Look at you.
Jesus Christ. You guys you're just dying to get off the Louis C.K. subject.
No, we're still on it. I didn't see him, though, because I wasn't there on the Saturday. But
I make assumptions, and I may have been picking up on things, but I felt this... Louis was giving this energy to me, like, looking for, like, a female friend.
Oh, on the other night.
Yeah, in a way that was sort of like he was trying to make a lot of eye contact with me. We were both like laughing at Nate Bargatze, he said, at like the same spots, like smiling and stuff. And like, I get that sense from him that he's like, oh, I just want to find one woman.
One woman that'll support me.
Be my friend.
Yeah, I mean, so anyway, it comes out and now there's basically well, I don't like calling them the mob, but there's a powerful online presence.
Why don't you like calling them the mob?
Well, there's a powerful online presence that will always... Well, because the mob is kind of negative.
You think I'm talking about like organized crime?
No.
Like mob, like lynchings.
Well, it dismisses that they have... that they're feelings. Anything other than... a lynch mob. I mean, yeah, like an angry mob.
Yeah, and as well, like... Oh, it's so hard because it's like, well, like that, if it does stop creeps for the future or whatever, that is great.
Yes.
And it's not like...
Well, how do you feel about this workplace safety thing? Because that's one of the things that comes up a lot on Twitter. Every time it pops up, workplace safety, this is a workplace safety issue.
I read the article that Katie Barbea, do you know her? I can't remember.
Oh, Kath?
Kath, yeah, yes. She wrote an article about it, but she said it's... It's also just not even just the comedians, it's the employees who work in the comedy clubs, and they don't have any, you know, so like if there's like a creepy comic kind of like assaults them or it does misconduct, I guess, like they work there and they're feeling uncomfortable. So the comedy clubs have to have responsibility for that as well. That's what she was writing about today.
Yeah. Mind you, I don't think anyone has made any accusation that any institution or place in relation to Louis C.K., put them in a dangerous scenario. Like, there's no institution that can take responsibility for what happened with Louis, other than I believe that there was on the Chris Rock show or one of the situations something was brought up.
And Rebecca, what's her face?
Yeah, and there was a little bit of a brush under the carpet. She was scenario like a writer or on something. That, I believe.
Yeah,
and I think the Brooklyn Bazaar got in a bit of trouble because they released an apology statement today.
They're pansies. They were so like goofy. The ones.
Oh, but that's just people get freaked out.
And they're like, oh crap,
they're just goofy.
Yeah,
so but here's the thing: he's not a sex offender, right? There's been no court case. Obviously, you're a registered sex offender. There is actually there's legal. There's a list of things that have to be done in relation to somebody's presence. He is not a registered sex offender. He has done this thing which society, not all of society, but a lot of society has decided is terrible.
Yeah.
But there's no consensus on what should be done. So this is my problem, right? When you have a he said, she said, which is unfortunately always the case with sexual assault, which is really problematic and too problematic to complicated to get into today.
Mm-hmm.
But the one thing that a court case does, whether usually the outcomes are disappointing for the victim, but the one thing a court case does is it allows as much information as possible to get out there. Often in the past, sexual assault groups would suggest that it's skewed against the victim. But putting all that to the side, because there was no court case in the Louis C.K. scenario, there's never been a case of people going, okay, hold on a minute. Here's the real things that happened. Where's the proof about the affecting your career? Where are all these things? So we've none of that. So you're allowed to just make all the decisions same way you're halfway through Making a Murderer or you're halfway through the first season of Serial.
Yeah.
And you're making decisions based on the information that's in front of you. Right. One episode later, your mind has changed again.
The whole world is flipped upside down.
Your mind has changed again. And I just think it's very strange. And again, on one level, I guess I don't care about Louis C.K., but on another level, it is a strange thing where we have decided that in this case, he's allowed to have a punishment set by a certain group of people. That is a strange thing.
Well, he made that deal with Fame. I mean, he took on that responsibility too. So
yeah, he was really taking a risky thing there, not thinking it was going to get out. Like, people are adamant.
He was not that famous when that thing happened.
Oh, see?
He wasn't even as...
I don't know a lot
about
this.
Not even close to what he became. In fact, it was like when I met him first 2004 in Ireland. And I had never heard of him, and he was not big. And I believe it was in and around that time.
Oh.
It was in and around sort of 15 years ago sort of vibe. I don't know the exact year, but I know that Louis C.K. opened up for me in Dublin in like 2008 or 2009, or maybe 2007. Anyway, he opened up for me, and he was not that big. They were all there to see me, and he died in his ass, and he blogged about it. You can find it online. He wrote about it.
I wonder if there's any of the Irish girls who he masturbated in front of.
Well, there's been nobody else came out. You know? I think they've all come out now, certainly. But anyway, he definitely, this incident was before then, and he was not big then. Yeah. You know?
And he bombed, you're saying? He ate it?
Yeah, but he wrote about it.
Wow.
Yeah. And he used to always tell the story when I showed up, which was great. But now, unfortunately, it's fucking useless to me. Fucking my association with Louis C.K. is a fucking pointless.
I'm sorry. You
know? Fucking 15 years
why?
Later.
Why? He just likes to whack off in front of women. I mean, it's a weird kink to not want the person to like be into it. It's bizarre. It's a weird power
that's
dynamic.
The humiliation
He doesn't want them to be into it.
Right.
Well, this is the assumption that the kink is humiliation.
Yeah, that's awful.
But then some argue it's humiliation of the women. Some argue that
of himself.
It's of himself.
Yeah. Oh, it's so weird.
It's weird. That's the one thing for sure. He's a fucking creep.
But there's weirder stuff. People are fucking goats. I mean, like, stuff goes on. There's a lot of weird shit.
People need to stop fucking goats.
I don't know. if it keeps them from fucking kids.
Why is the goat and the kid?
That's the progression.
Because a baby goat is a kid.
Is a kid. So...
If it helps, this whole conversation is after remind me of the time a guy did masturbate in front of me without my consent.
He did?
Yeah, it was a guy. It was so funny because we were wrapping cutlery in my restaurant. This is back in Ireland, the Courtyard Hotel. But so there was a guy outside, and one of the girls goes, "There's someone touching his dick out there." And I looked out, and there was a guy in a wheelchair masturbating, looking at us.
Oh, you gotta give it to that guy. I would have pulled my tit out.
That's flash.
I would have pulled my tit out for that.
He was touched. He was.
Yeah, but that's flat. There's a law against that.
Oh, indecent like
exposure.
We were.
Yeah, that's indecent exposure.
Yeah, no, in fairness to the manager at the time, it was one of my friends. He went out and was like, "You need to stop." And then the guy rolled
that's,
off.
That's the law. There's a law against that. And that's what some people tried to say was Louis
C.K. Louis was doing indecent exposure, right? Yeah.
Oh, I didn't even know there was a law against it.
A guy did it to me once and he was like, there was a big screen, a glass. I was eating a salad next to my friend and I looked up and I was like, "Oh, come on." I went like this, like, "Get out of the way." And he just moved over 3 feet and did it to my friend.
Very considerate.
Thanks, guy. Yeah.
You never know who'll be into the performance, you know?
I just like, I mean, who hasn't done some like weird stuff? Like,
I know.
I've done some embarrassing things. I mean, luckily most of my things are pretty public that I've done. Just public drunkenness on podcasts in the past and stuff like that. And I don't know. I think that the thing is, you're going to have to live with your life choices, and it's going to, your reputation is going to precede you, and people are going to view you, you know, based on that. So, but at the same time, like, people do weird stuff behind closed doors, and I don't like all the judgment.
Oh, yeah, the judgment is tough. I mean, people got a hard time. I mean, one female comic told me, I won't name anybody just in case they don't want to be named. One female comic told me that she got a hard time for continuing to perform in the Cellar, and she thought, "Oh, so I spent most of my career trying to get into the Cellar.
Right.
Now I'm in the Cellar, and suddenly I meant to sacrifice that because this guy did this horrible thing,
right?
And somehow now all women are supposed to suffer.
No, yeah, that's more completely unfair.
Right.
No, any woman.
But there was a lot of that.
But it's women that are calling for that. That's not men that are calling for that. Like,
oh no, that's absolutely women that are calling for that. And then some
that's
of them.
That's not feminism.
And I also know that some of them that were calling for that. We're invited actually to the Comedy Cellar to just like, look, you know, we all evolve. Information comes out.
Right.
People have different opinions on whether or not Louis should be performing here, but you're more than welcome to perform here. But they all declined.
Really? Yeah.
Yes. And, you know, I mean, The truth of the matter is that on an industry level, this has been very positive for women in comedy, because they've finally been able to say, here's some of the fucked up shit that we have to deal with.
Yeah. Right.
Whatever level you consider Louis's fucked up shit,
yeah,
it's definitely fucked up.
Yeah.
And then other people wrote articles saying, here's some other fucked up shit that went down in
right.
comedy. Mm-hmm. So that's a positive, right?
Yeah.
Right? And then I also think that perhaps the industry has gone, we need to be more proactive with looking after women in the industry, because there's tons of positives to get out of it, you know, diversity and just new points of view. And, you know, what's her name? Lori Kilmartin wrote the article in New York Times about how, you know, like
yes.
it does get a bit repetitive, the same type of guys coming up, you know, it's good for the audiences. So, you know, all that is positive. Does it require the total shunning of Louis C.K. for it to be correct?
Right. No, I think we're talking about evolution and growth, and everybody should be allowed to grow, you know?
Yeah.
Maybe, like, including Louis.
My personal opinion is that he should have reflected a little deeper. I don't care about the amount of time. People are always obsessed with this. Oh, so it's 9 months and then he's back in the game or whatever.
Right.
Like, anybody would want Louis C.K.'s life right now. This is what makes me laugh. All these fucking keyboard right. warriors. Like,
right.
like he hasn't, like, I mean, whatever. I don't know how he hasn't, like, gone.
Suffered.
Been committed. But anyway, I thought that it would have been a better play for him to reflect real hard and do some comedy about being the guy that he never thought he was, which is the bad guy, the creep.
Yeah.
And to reflect on how those women might have felt.
Right.
Yeah.
And help people to understand, number one, perhaps the ignorance or the oblivion. You know, like, you're oblivious that you're a prick sometimes, I think.
Right. Yeah. But I think he's too arrogant to do.
Well, it turns out that, yeah, well, I'm not going to say why, but he didn't want to do that. And I actually discussed it with him. I out myself for having had a discussion with him.
Yeah.
And he did not want to do that, which is his right. And, you know, my opinion is irrelevant. But right. I would have thought, in fact, I was going to, I literally was going to tell him, if you were a politician,
yeah,
you would fucking fake it.
Right.
Yeah.
But funnily enough, he cut me off by saying that another comedian suggested something similar. And he was like, that's bullshit, because then you're not being true to yourself. And I thought, okay, well I'm going to keep my mouth shut. Yeah.
You know what? That's a great idea. And he should have went and done it in Ireland and bombed for longer. Just kept running his new material there.
Well, his material was
that should have been his punishment.
Okay, but, you know, maybe this is part of his journey. And his journey doesn't matter on one level. But I just do think it's interesting the way it's such a hot... The minute he gets up on stage, they all pipe up again. And I don't know what we gain from it. That's the point. There's so much positives to be gained from everything that's happened with Me Too and the comedy game changing quickly.
Right.
And I just don't know what we gain from this constant berating of him.
Yeah. And yeah, I think it's fine that he was at Skankfest, because like you said, those fans are there for comedians like him. So, and anybody who, again, any comedian who's performing, you know, the festival wouldn't have, everybody's aware, so they weren't gonna let anything go down. Like, nothing went down, right? He didn't take a stick out in the green room, did he?
I begged him to.
Ugh.
But do you ever get concerned that it feeds into the people that are just like, come on, this is bullshit?
Well, I mean, if you're being honest, like, I think of course there's like an element of, I mean, why book Louis C.K.? You kind of probably do want to like stir some shit up a little
yes.
bit. Sure. I mean, that's a part of it too. But that's, I don't know I can't really fault somebody for wanting to like drum up some excitement, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think Lewis is getting a lot of shite now on Twitter, right?
Yeah, but I mean, well, Lewis
loves
in heaven.
Lewis is in heaven.
That's so funny.
Heaven.
Yeah, and like he knows what he was getting himself into, so he's grand.
No.
Oh yeah, no, he's happy out. He's
This is the best thing that could have ever happened for him. He was on TMZ.
He was?
Legion, or his name.
Yeah,
the,
it was.
Legion of Skanks was in Newsweek. I mean, it's getting national coverage.
Yeah.
It couldn't have been a better move, a smarter move for them. The Legion of the Skankfest, I'm sure, is going to be bigger next year.
He was quoted saying, I did do my reading today.
There you go.
He was quoted saying, let Louis do comedy because comedy is therapy and it'll make them something like that. It'll make them better. It helps us make us better. Comedy. Yeah. A lot of comedians will say it's like therapy or whatever, something like that along those lines. Yeah. So that was his stance.
Great. So we'll leave it there.
It's not my therapy. I need to go to therapy.
I'm never going to therapy. Just gonna leave it all in here.
Good.
You're never going to
like
therapy?
Like a true Irish person.
You've been to therapy.
I haven't. I've been AA.
You've never been to therapy?
No. I'm a very self-aware person.
That's why you're going to keep falling in love too fast, get too into it, and it's all going to fucking fall apart.
No, this guy is great. I love him
Can
so much.
Can we talk about him? Is he a fan?
Yeah. Saw me on Chipperson, Norton's podcast, and they sent me a message.
I had to stalk hard to see a photo of him. So she's posting all these photos saying right, Tom Diver, whatever his name is.
Tom McKay.
Oh, shit. Well,
suddenly her ass photos were no longer in the mirror.
I was like, I know.
She found someone to take a photo.
Literally. I was like, who's taking... I thought you'd hired like a like sexy photographer thing. Right? Like some guy was like, oh, I take sexy photos. Then I go into... And then you're like, oh, I'm messaging you because it's my boyfriend. So I was like trying to creep. Yeah. I had to go onto his page. And then I had to go onto his tagged pages. And then there was only like one photo really fired. And he's cute.
I know. He's really cute. He doesn't put enough pictures up. Mm. I'm not putting them up, though. I'm not going to hold him out there for the sharks to come get him.
No, that's great. I'm happy for you.
No,
you
love him. He's wonderful.
How long
but, you know, when you say, like, he's a fan, I mean, he saw you and hit you up.
Yeah.
I mean... What's wrong with that?
No, it's great.
I know, but just because you said to me the other day, it was like, let's talk to Karen about the fact that she's dating a fan.
I thought it was like someone who was like following her comedy for a really long time. I didn't hear this side of the story.
Oh, right.
She just messaged me saying he's a fan.
He watched me on a few episodes. He definitely is a fan.
No, I mean, yeah, but
I
like,
think it's fun.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's an interesting dynamic that it's like a very, it feels good.
It's more common. The other way, you know, male comics, it wouldn't be considered strange to date somebody that got into them.
Well, I think most men, you have to be really secure to date a female comic.
I was just about to say that. Is he very supportive and everything?
Very supportive, very secure. Like, doesn't, like, saw me on podcast, but like now when I do radio and stuff, doesn't listen, doesn't care. Came to a bunch of shows, like when we first started dating, he was at like, you know, Frantic and everything coming. And then like, sort of like slowly like tapered off. He'll still come sometimes, but not all the time. It's great.
Same.
Great.
Well, yeah, if they come too much, it's not good.
Well, we had a funny talk because he was like, babe, I feel like we've been going to a lot of comedy shows lately. And I go, no, babe, you've been following me to work.
Exactly. Exactly.
And then he sort of tapered off.
That's good.
What does he do other than take photos of yours?
Thank you. He is in school right now. He's getting his master's in exercise science.
So sorry. He's in school.
But he's like an AD or works on production. He assists photographers for like money.
Convenient.
He's very talented.
How old is he?
29. He'll be 30 soon though.
It's great.
Mm-hmm. I mean, we won't talk about your age.
No, we won't.
Will we talk about whether he's younger or older than you?
Oh my God. He's younger. It's great. I mean, I feel it a lot, though. You feel it being like I've never been older. I've never been like the older person in a relationship. I'm always the younger one.
Yeah.
But it's a different thing. I like it. It's good. He's good.
And you love him.
I love him.
Wow.
Oh, you're already in love.
When did you know you loved him?
I have keys. I have a drawer.
You have keys? I don't even have fucking keys.
My dog's at his place right now.
You have a drawer?
No. I have a drawer. He made me a drawer.
I feel that rent coming down by 50%, baby.
Wait, where does he live?
That's the thing about New Yorkers, man. It's like you fall in love and you're like, fuck it. Let's fucking have the rent.
Why not,
right? God, stop. My guy offered me a really, really cheap deal and I was like,
to move in with him?
Yeah, to fucking New Jersey.
But it's New Jersey. No. Well, it's 30 minutes out of the city, but still.
Path train?
But it's really cheap, but no, I'm not going to do it. But he said for the future, but then I said, no, I'm never leaving New York. So, I love New York. I don't care. I'll pay to this day.
He's in Fort Greene. Where's that? Guy.
Brooklyn?
Oh, yeah. Fucking high five.
What's his apartment like?
Beautiful.
He lives alone?
What is he?
Sort of.
Where's he getting this Fort Greene money for? I think his parents got cash.
Wow. Yep. Does he treat you
Trust
for fun. Meals and stuff? I like that. I want to be treated for meals. I am. But this is, you know.
Well, we've learned from the earlier conversation that these are not two fucking feminists sitting in front of us right now. I'll tell you that.
I tip.
I tip. tip.
You do
what
the tip.
It's a Michelle Wolf. She's like, I'm a feminist, but I'm not like a buy my own drink kind of feminist.
Yeah. Michelle Wolf says that? Yeah, well, Bonnie has a great joke about that, too.
What's
funny? I don't want to fuck up her joke, right, but it's something right, along the lines of, like, I'm a feminist, I want equality, but
right.
on a date...
Oh, the women and children are that one, too, though.
Well, on a date, you're paying, because I'm the one that's taking all the risk of rape.
Right. Yeah.
Something like that. But I think she did that on The Tonight Show.
Did she?
I think so, yeah.
She's great. I love Bonnie McFarlane.
A lot of, though... Oh, to come back to the... Just for a second, because I forgot to say it. What? There was... A female comedian post about being worried about taking a gig because of Louis C.K. and was like, oh, I don't want to miss out on the gig. And a few women, female comics wrote underneath being like, oh, just do it and do like what Bonnie did. That was great. So there was a lot of praise for Bonnie. She really did make a great situation.
Right.
Yeah.
Because Bonnie, she's not going to, it's not like, oh, I'm just going to get up there and like do my set and like show like I'm funny and I belong. Like Bonnie, of course, belongs on stage with like those comedians. But more than that, she's like, I'm going to take this and make it my moment too. You know, like why the hell not? Mm. So say what's, you know, what everybody's thinking. Why not say what everybody's thinking?
Yeah.
But also just like, can we just fucking call a spade a spade?
Yeah.
What is the fucking safety issue? Louis C.K. has been in the comedy game a long fucking time.
Right.
And there was a small amount of incidents 15 years ago where that shit happened, which is very fucking creepy.
Right.
But the level of fucking safety.
No.
The risks are low.
Right. And if there are comedian dudes that like get drunk and gropey, like from what I've so heard much. That happens. And what I've heard, like other male comedians usually deal with it.
Yeah.
Like they'll say stuff to these guys. Like in my experience, I'm not trying to paint every male comedian like freaking knight in shining armor. They're not. But my experience, they've always looked out for me and made sure that I was okay and comfortable. If anybody's groping, it's usually me.
Yeah. Well, like, yeah.
You're the groper?
Yeah, she's groped me before.
See?
The New York comedians here, like most of the guys have been quite good to me, like as well. There was an incident where there was a bad comic and a friend of mine was very upset, but then the other guys, you know, banded around her, walked her home. And I've had guys be on the phone to me when I was walking home late from a gig.
Right. Just,
I do feel there is a lot of camaraderie. There is good. And then there is still weirdos as well. Like,
sure.
Like there was one weirdo in the scene right now who was following. Oh, there was a weirdo saying he'd behead.
Wait, who? The beheading guy.
And there was a weirdo saying and going around following people. Now he has.
Sorry, whoa.
I heard about him too.
Because you went off on a load of.
Well, I'm just saying. So even currently, there still is issues in the community. We got like there was a one specific guy, but he has like, look, there's something. I don't know what.
Are you talking about Ari guy?
No, I'm talking about a different guy. But
I don't know.
He had to be told very heavily to kind of back off women.
Really?
Now, a lot of it was just that because there's something wrong with him, people didn't want to be mean.
Right.
And he'd kind of kept coming.
He's like on the spectrum or is it mental illness?
There's something. There's something wrong. I don't know what it is specifically. Like, bullshit. I know when he was being a bit too much with me, I was very direct with him and I was like, look, you need to back off. And then he was fine. But just... When you have to tell them, people don't realize that they just need to say it. And then when a few of the guys said it to him as well, he's backed off as well. But so there still is, it's a community where you do kind of attract some people who maybe have boundary issues.
Right. It has to be a self-governing community. Like we keep saying, there is no HR. There's no one person in charge. It sort of has to, we have to keep each other safe and look out for each other. So, and women, I think, are really good at spotting out the creeps and tagging them on Facebook and putting their picture up. You see this guy, he's a creep. Like that's the public justice of being a creep.
But I think in the past it wasn't as good as it you know, I mean there's been some stuff in Ireland also with promoters and different things, and my understanding is that it wasn't great,
right?
But I was like oblivious to it, you know,
so you're a guy.
Yes. That was one of the things that I really took out of the old Me Too thing.
I mean, I think a lot of like, you know, working the road is still friggin' hard. I think it's what all male bookers, you know, and it's like a lot of the stuff is just friends and recommendations, and I use him and I'm gonna keep using him, and I'm not really, I don't necessarily want to work the road unless I'm like, you know, headlining and making a lot of money. Like I'm not really interested in going and like middling and sleeping in a condo and doing all that stuff. I'll just keep trucking away here in New York. But That is one thing that I feel like keeps coming up, like, because I see, like,
oh, you want to open up for me in Chicago?
Yeah.
No, I'm just kidding. I knew you'd get the timing on that.
But it's like, I do see some, I mean, this is like just like my own personal comedy beef. I guess I do see comics sometimes like headlining the road, this and that, and they have like no following. They have no fans, you know? And I'm like, I don't get that. Like, how are you a draw, but nobody knows who you are?
And it's, but you're
just
not a draw.
But they're not a draw. It's just the club packing it out.
Yeah, which is fair enough. I mean, that's the way the game used to work.
That's what I don't like. I think it's stupid.
Well, no, but well, it's 50-50 on that one, because people should just go to the comedy club thinking, I'll just see
they
whoever.
They should trust the club. It's going to book a strong talent.
Yes.
But I feel like that road to that is like narrow and just comes from like who you know, and this person, I'll recommend him, I'm done.
Yeah, I agree. But then on another level, you have a kind of a sort of a modern take on it, which is influenced by the fact that you can gain fans, quote unquote, through social media and the internet, and that has changed the game, you know.
And you might,
but like in the past, like you couldn't. It was very hard to get known, but you could be an awesome comic,
right?
And if that's still the case for some people, they're an awesome comic and they don't have fans, or they're just not good on the social media game, they still should be able to get booked.
I still think,
also, you could get booked because you've got so many bloody fans, but just because you're good at Twitter and you don't have an hour of material, so
then that's not good either.
Yeah, so
it's like that's happening.
That happens a lot too. Yeah, I mean,
the clubs don't care that they're diminishing.
Sort of like podcast followings, I think I see it a lot too. Like, oh, we have a podcast, we have all these fans, so come out and watch us do quote unquote comedy.
And the clubs are booking them, and they're selling the tickets. The problem is that it dilutes the.
It's not necessarily stand-up comedy.
Yeah, it dilutes the power. So eventually then people go, I went to the comedy club. It was these podcast guys. It was packed, but I
just want a headline on the road more. So if anybody's listening.
One of my
close. Sure. Sorry, go ahead.
Well, Kim. I was just going to say, one of my favorite comics, he headlines on the road everywhere, but he doesn't have.
I have to fucking let Katie speak because I'm a guy and I can't be seen to be talking over Katie.
He just interrupted me.
What guy? I know who you're talking about. I don't really. I'm just kidding.
Brendan Eyre.
Yeah,
and he headlines, and he's fantastic.
And
but
he
I don't
has
think
no
he has
fans.
I don't think he has a draw. I'm sure he has a little. I don't. But
no,
I don't
he
think
has no fan base. He has 1,000 Twitter followers.
He's amazing.
Yeah, but listen, and he headlines. I went to fucking Minneapolis. I did the Mall of America.
Yeah.
Nobody fucking knows me in Minneapolis.
Right.
So.
I understand.
You know.
I don't know. It's just a personal thing that irks me.
Yeah.
Well, you know,
I'm not
fans.
Getting enough headlining gigs. That's my problem.
By the way, if you do crosswords. Irks is always a good word to know. It comes up a lot.
Does it?
If you do crossword?
Yeah.
IRK.
Irk. Yeah, or irks.
I don't even know how to fucking
spell that.
Just comes up a lot.
Do I look like
annoys.
So that K. You never know what to do with that K.
Yeah.
U or K?
IRK.
I or
Katie, don't fuck. I'm trying to keep our listeners, you know, thinking that you're sharp.
And
that
no, I represent
don't
the people who can't spell.
Don't do the
people,
spelling.
I represent the people who maybe didn't get an A in English.
U-R-K-E-L.
I don't know. I do Sudoku, so.
Oh.
I don't do no word shit.
Okay. I don't do
maybe
no
I
word
should.
All right.
Sudoku, right?
Sudoku. Sudoku, is that what it is? I'm good at it.
Words are so weird. That's the number game.
That's the numbers. Yeah, it's good. It's fun.
It's fun.
What are you gonna add up to 9 or something? What are you gonna do?
You gotta. I haven't played Sudoku
in
a while.
I haven't played it in so long.
But it's.
You don't add up to 9. It's like all the there's 9 numbers and it's all like you gotta fit in the box and 1, 2. So yeah,
right. It's like a 9.
Yeah. You're right.
That's all I remember about it. That's a 9. Like this girl.
Yeah. Sudoku. I just second guessed myself.
Oh, well, I'm glad you checked then.
I hate
all right, well,
filter.
Listen.
Are you taking a selfie?
No, I'm just going to do a little story for the gram.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, great. Are you doing yourself?
Hello.
It's a very bad hair day.
Oh,
for me?
Are you
no,
doing
for
yourself?
Me. I got a fuzzy head.
Oh, you're doing him.
I don't want my fuzzy head on your Instagram.
<It's too bad.
laughs> I love it.
Katie loves it. This was a great episode. I was great.
You were
great. Fantastic.
You were. And I'm glad you're in love with your hop diver.
This episode doesn't even matter. It doesn't even matter what say because it's all just about the fact that it's a pingy subject.
I know. It's going to go.
The subject is
going to travel.
Oh, and can I also say before when you said don't be worried about men's feelings, I wasn't worried about men's feelings. Don't come at me. Hello.
There. Just doing the podcast. Oh, God, I look like, I can't believe you did.
Oh, you're going to do me. I thought you were going to do me from up high.
I did you already. Oh, you want to do high?
I mean, yeah, I'm not trying to have like.
It's not great. You're not going to be happy when you see it.
Put a filter on it.
I actually don't know how to put a filter on a story.
You, the king of stories.
Yeah.
I don't know how to put a filter on a story.
Wow. Sure, you just go like this, look.
Oh, wow. Oh, like that.
Yeah, you can swipe it. You can put it black and white if you're feeling a bit. Ugh.
We'll do black
artsy
and white. Tokyo.
My boyfriend took all these like new like boob pictures.
We're still
of me.
Recording, by the way, while doing all this social media.
My boyfriend would never, ever take boob pictures of me.
Maybe one day he will.
No, not for public consumption.
No. Well, yeah, he won't send me these ones. He's taking one that he sent me, but these new ones, he's like, these are for me. I'm like,
that's nice, though. It's nice to have some things for himself, right?
I guess.
When did you say I love you?
After he said it.
Ugh. When did he say it?
2 months in.
2 months in?
Pretty early, right? Pretty fast.
I don't know. I had a guy say it a week in.
Yeah, Lewis said he loved me the first time he fucked me.
But he probably just makes him hard.
We were 3 months.
He should be euthanized.
And he said it by accident. Like, he was like, I was annoying him or something. And I was like, I said something like, oh, do you hate me? And he goes, no, I love you. And then I went, what? And he goes, I didn't say nothing.
Aww,
and I was like, what did you say? And he goes,
so
I just said gibberish. So then, like 2 weeks later, I said it to him. We were in a fight, and I was like, I love you. And he was like, really? And I was like, yeah, I knew you said it before. And he goes, I didn't want to scare you away. And I was like, that's fine.
I love you guys.
And then we broke up. And then we got back together.
They broke up. Yeah.
For like an hour.
So how long?
It was about a week, actually.
It was technically a week. I just didn't ever tell him.
Yeah, we can't fucking talk about it, even though it's fucking fascinating. It's fascinating. So you'll be dying for this podcast to finish so we can actually get into it.
Yep.
All right, guys.
I need to wee.
What?
I need to wee.
She needs to go for a piss.
I forgot.
And we're going to do it with the door closed, unlike you, Karen.
I just feel more, I don't know why I'm like that, but I've always been like that.
What, you leave the door open?
No, she posts it on Instagram. Pee photos.
When you pee?
You can't hear me pee. One time I think maybe I had a video where you could hear me pee a little.
Yeah, I never post when I'm on the toilet, but I always feel like
he catches
I want
me.
To.
But because I leave the door open because I think I always have this like sense like anything can happen at any time, right? Like we get broken into, like somebody could come kidnap us. And why do I need one more layer of escape?
Wow. I'm not.
I think you're overthinking it.
I think you're more in love than me. I'm not at peeing in front of him yet. He tried to stay in the bathroom the other day and I go, get the fuck out.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Oh, I don't want him in the bathroom. I just want to be able to converse with him from the bathroom too. Yeah.
Which I think is fair.
Well, that's what he was just chatting and he was like, oh, okay. And then I closed the door and we still talked.
Katie loves this guy. What's the matter? Are you not seeing anyone? What's the matter? You're engaged to your Peloton bike?
I'm engaged to my Peloton. I'm currently in the process of getting ripped so I can pick up an influencer.
Nice.
Gonna broaden my horizons.
Nice.
In the Hamptons? You're gonna get an influencer?
No, I'm not gonna get an influencer in the Hamptons. In the Hamptons, I'm gonna get a 45-year-old rich divorcee.
That's smart.
That's great,
spend
though.
Some guy's money.
That's smart.
Okay, go for that.
I'm good. I'm.
You're good.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. People who are not in relationships are generally happier.
I know.
We're like,
I was.
I'm as happy as I am mad half the time. I'm as in love as much as I want to stab him half the time.
I go through like phases too. I get very irritable, I'm such an annoying. Like I just get. I'm very arrogant. I don't like. He's like not in comedy, so when he offers his opinion,
oh my
god,
same.
I'm such a bitch. Yeah. It's overwhelming how shitty I am to this guy.
Yeah. I had him once critique something, and I was like, this was the start, and I said, we will not have a future if you ever do that again.
Excellent.
And I just go, because whatever you're thinking, I already know,
right.
And I know what I need to work on, and I'm the one who's
right.
Like I was like, you just need to be like. You need to
good.
Say everything's great.
Everything I say is
great.
Hilarious. Yeah. And I'm the greatest comedian you've ever
and
met.
He was so apologetic, though. He was like, oh, no, I thought, because he had said, but he was like, I just thought it would be helpful.
I'm sure it wasn't even right.
Yeah. And I was like, no, just for the future.
Just for the future, never do that
again.
And
he's always like, every time he sees me, and he gives me like the best, like, he's like,
no, let me ask you this.
He's like, gosh.
Wouldn't you think that perhaps one out of 10 times, he might have something constructive.
Boo!
Well, no, I will say this. That was 4 months ago.
I'm just concerned about your future of comedy, not the future of this relationship.
Go fuck yourself. So that was 4 months ago. And since then, he has given me good... He said it better. He has given me good advice. Because he knows my comedy. He sees it a lot. And he's been able to communicate it better. And I think he just used the wrong words before. It's all just about, you know, fucking... And now he knows me. It's different. But this was like a second, third date sort of thing.
So would you, either of you, say, I'm working on a bit, and you come home and you're like, I'm working on this bit and blah, 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 and see if they just might throw out, not even a joke, but just might throw out the word that unlocks another part of your...
Around
that. Would you do that?
Yeah.
I wouldn't want him to know that that's what I was doing.
Oh God.
So that's you really controlling. I mean, really,
I've told. I guess my thing was when
like
I come
up. What's wrong with sharing that? What are you afraid of?
I'm like that with comic friends too, though. And I mean, I do like, I'm getting better at it, and I have accepted tags from people, but I do have this like.
You have an initially defensive reaction, right?
I'm like, it's mine. I write it. I sink or fail with it. You know, like
I'm so different to you. Yeah. I was down with Garrett Reynolds, and he really nicely came up to me and said, he watched my set, was very complimentary, and then said, hey, I have a suggestion for some tags, but if you don't want it, no problem. And I was like getting my notepad, and he's completely changed those bits. I love it. I love criticism. But I went to art college, and we did weekly criticism. And when I did say about the boyfriend, I meant I had just gotten off stage. I think there's a time and a place. But no, I love it. Especially someone who is a headliner who can give you great advice.
I have to take criticism all day long at my writing job for like ideas and pitches, and like my ideas get sort of like morphed and molded into things that weren't my initial idea. So I'm good at taking criticism. Okay. Like I can handle it. But there's something about the writing process and like birthing a joke. Roast battle is one thing. I will go back and play like write roast jokes with people all day long.
Well, of course, because they're fucking throwaway anyway.
Right. Yeah. They're not my...
So you're not going to be precious about it.
Right.
Yeah.
So yeah, but when
you don't
have
open mics for those, so you need to, or you don't have like, you can't do them at shows. You need to you need to run them by comics before you do it.
Right. But yeah, there's just something. I am a little precious about my shit.
Interesting.
But yeah, and there is something I do have.
But I have a defensive reaction too. But then sometimes
I'm working on it.
Well, sometimes a day later I'll be like, it's actually pretty good.
Yeah.
Well, when we were, I always think that comedians should go to art college just for this, because they would do it one class a week for 4 years, where the whole class would have to say something bad about it so that you could make it better. So you just were kind of, I'm kind of used to someone being like, oh, this would work over here.
Right.
And then if it doesn't work, grand. But like,
It's just about improving.
Yes. Yeah. But I probably wouldn't have been like that if I hadn't done that in college. But like, I see what you're saying about if that's your daytime as well. Like, because I don't write. I just serve drinks during the day. No one's fucking...
Yeah, there's something like... It's a skill that is important and it's good to have. And I can and do take criticism. I guess people don't give me a lot of... People don't come up to me and give me a lot of tags.
I wouldn't give you a tag.
I tell you what bothers me.
I'd be like, she's going to stab me in the face. Katie. And I'm your friend.
I don't want to give off that vibe, though. That's like, don't fucking give me a tag, bro.
That's the vibe you give off. But the real question is, what are you afraid of?
What am I afraid of? Yeah. I know. It's also like, you got fucking people on Twitter fucking tagging your jokes or attempting to, and Instagram too, all day long.
I'll tell you what bothers me. People give you career advice. Fucking random, you know, like people
Trucker
in like...
Trucker Joe. Who's
what,
like,
yeah, or like people in finance, you know.
Right.
Yeah.
You even know what you need to do? You need to get a Netflix special. So, oh, shit.
No way.
Bro,
really?
I never fucking thought of that.
You're a genius.
Are you kidding me? Holy shit. You just unlocked the fucking door to my life.
That's so funny.
I had to eat a bag of shit my fucking boss piled on me. So my boss is, you know, the editorial director of this. And let's cut this part out. But...
will we finish then?
No, there is a different thing. You've been doing comedy. I've only been doing comedy 4 years. So I'm still, in my head, I'm like, I'm still in college.
Yeah.
So you've been doing it longer. Yeah. So maybe for you, you're like, go fuck yourself. I've been doing long this enough to know what I'm doing.
No. She's a cunt. You're not.
It's nicer if I say it. You're a cunt. No, you're not. You're lovely. You are lovely.
She's proud.
I'm proud.
She's PWC.
I have an issue. I do have an issue with my pride and my ego.
I do have to wee, so goodbye.
Yeah, goodbye.
All right, good day,
everyone.
Wait,
Karen and Feehan.
Oh, follow me on Instagram, you guys, or I'll fucking kill you. At Karen Feehan.
KerrynFeehan. F-E-E-H-A-N.
No.
Karen Feehan.
No, you're both perfect.
And Katie's going for a pee. She's at Katie Boyle Comic. And she's running to the bathroom. She's going for a wee. And I'll do all this on my own later. Thank you. Thanks, guys. Well, listen, we hope you enjoyed the ep. Please give us any feedback, any thoughts. I would have loved to have had maybe somebody to, you know, who had like the opposite opinion, but I didn't. So that's okay. Plenty of people out there. Plenty of stuff out there. You'll find more. And listen, we need more 5-star reviews on iTunes. Spread the word about the pod. I'm in Chicago this weekend. Actually, from tonight, Wednesday night. It's Tuesday night now, but from Wednesday night to Saturday at Zany's Rosemont. So if you know anyone in Chicago, send them my way out by O'Hare Airport. In memory of my mother, Eileen O'Hare. And I'm also at the Ivy Gardens for the Vodafone Comedy Festival. So if you haven't got tickets for that, do get them back in Ireland soon. Hope everybody's well. Add me on Instagram, at Des Bishop. Add Katie on Instagram, at Katie Boyle Comic. And we'll chat to you next week. Thanks, guys.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.